be seated. I'm glad you guys know when to stand up and to sit down, because I totally spaced telling you to sit down. And praise the Lord, we have Brother Stoltz that is going to be preaching tonight, and I am looking forward to this. I thought about it this, I spent some time this morning thinking about it, and the first two things that came to my mind about Brother Stoltz was two things. If you know anything about Brother Stoltz, you know one thing about him is he's faithful. And you don't have to worry about if Brother Stoltz is going to be where he's supposed to be or do what he's supposed to do. No, Brother Stoltz is faithful. You know, one of the greatest qualities of a Christian is faithfulness. God's not going to, when we stand in front of the Lord is going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He's not going to say, "Well done, thou good and smart servant." "Well good, thou, done, thou good and you gave a lot of money, servant." No, God said he's looking for faithfulness. And boy, if you can look at Brother Stoltz, one thing you know about Brother Stoltz, he has been saved for 36 years, and Brother Stoltz has been faithful. He's been faithful to everything. And I thought another thing that came to my mind with Brother Stoltz, and the thing that popped into my mind is, I'm going to read you this verse, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land." As I thought about Brother Stoltz, I thought about Brother Stoltz stands in the gap. You know, when there's a need, something happens, the first person who seems to be there is Brother Stoltz. "I'll take care of a preacher. I'll take care of that for you. I'll take care of the bus route for you, preacher. Something happens, I'll take care of the teens for you, preacher." And, you know, with the song leader, I think about Brother Stoltz. I'll take care. Brother Stoltz may not like to come up here and sing, but you know what? He's one of those people that if there is a need and there's a gap, guess what? He's quick to fill in that gap and to take care of what needs to be done. And just think how a church can run so smoothly if all of us had a mindset to want to stand in the gap if there's a need to be taken, and to be faithful in our positions in church. And praise the Lord. When I think of Brother Stoltz, I thought of, man, Brother Stoltz is faithful in everything he does. And man, when there's a need to be fulfilled, Brother Stoltz stands in the gap and he takes care of what needs to be done. And praise the Lord for a man like Brother Stoltz. I am glad he's preaching tonight, and I'm glad that we get to hear him. So if you will, just like we would a guest, why don't we stand up and give him a round of applause, and he'll come up here.
Amen and amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Concerning filling needs, I just do my best, because the preacher deserves that. We have a man of God, and he deserves our best. He deserves us to step up and to do whatever we can to give our best. That's what I want to do, and that's what that's all about. I want you to remember to pray for the preacher. He carries a heavy load. He doesn't say anything about it, but you know, this whole move, we just kind of show up and say, "Well, the preacher will take care of it," you know, and he does. But I want you to remember that is not a simple. It does not happen simply. It does not happen without much travail and work and burden. The preacher carries a heavy burden there, and I want you to remember to pray for him and be ready to do anything that he needs done, and be ready to encourage him and love him, and specifically just pray God's, you know, hand to be on him. Amen? Amen. All right. I have some jokes here. You up for a joke? Amen. They have a new strategy for the economy. The Obama administration has a new strategy for the economy. It's called the "Don't Ask, Don't Tell" strategy. You don't ask what his strategy is, and he doesn't tell you. It's a quote from the IRS. "We've got what it takes to take what you've got." A little story called "Saving President Obama." President Obama was out walking one day, and he fell off a bridge. Oh no! Fell into the water, but there were three young people right there, and they pulled him out of the water. Now, if you've heard these jokes before, just laugh anyways, okay? But there were three young people right there, and they rescued him. They saved him. They pulled him out, and he was so grateful. He says to them, I'll give you whatever you want. You name it, I'll give it to you." The first guy said, "Well, I want some tickets to Disneyland." He said, "Well, bang, there you go, tickets to Disneyland." The second guy said, "Well, I want some new Nikes." He said, oh, okay, well, hey, there you go. And he got new Nikes. The third guy said, well, I want a wheelchair all tricked out and with hydraulics and with a plasma screen TV, a wheelchair, a nice one with cup holders and everything. And he's like, a wheelchair? He says, now, you don't appear to be disabled to me. He says, no, but when my dad finds out I saved you, I will be. Oh, okay, any rate. So, I want to talk to you tonight about a very simple, straightforward truth, basic and fundamental, foundational in the Christian life. Simply walk with God. Walk with God is what we want to talk about tonight, walking with God, okay? Back in the 1980, I got saved on February 13th of 1980, back in the dark ages. And then in the spring of 1980, I heard that this man, Dr. Jack Hiles, was coming to preach in the Clover Creek Baptist Church in Tacoma, Washington, which was, it was like 150 miles north of where I lived. But my preacher and some of the people from my church wanted to go up there. And we went to hear Dr. Jack Hiles, the man of God, and We went and through heard the service. He preached on Is There Not a Cause, an awesome message. And then after the service, I said, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand in line and I'm going to ask him his advice for my life. I'm going to say to him, preacher, what is one thing you could tell me, the most important thing I could do for my life, just to help my life? And so I did. I stood in line. I shook his hand. And I said, Brother Hiles, what advice would you give to a young man? The most important thing I could do in my life to turn out right. He said, Rich, three words. Walk with God. That's it. Walk with God. It's just that simple. I said, okay, wow, great. And then I've spent the next 36 years learning what that meant. Amen. And I'm still learning, and it's still growing, and I plan to keep learning, I plan to keep growing, I plan to walk with God more and more. So, all right. By the way, that is not just for young Christians. That is not a truth that just applies to new Christians. It is a truth that applies to every Christian. Dr. 111 said one time, he said, Rich, after a while, the Christian life is simply being reminded of the same old truths over and over again until we finally apply them to our lives. There are those of us who are here tonight who know that they should walk with God. They do once in a while, but not necessarily consistently. I want to talk to you about being consistent tonight. I want to talk to you about making this thing of walking with God an important part of your life. Okay, did you know God created us for fellowship with him?
That's right.
The whole reason why you are here on this earth tonight, God created you for the purpose of fellowship with him. He said, I want somebody to fellowship with. And he said, so let us make man in our image. Okay, the reason you are alive tonight, the reason God created you was so that he could have fellowship. And so you're a designer's model. I mean, you were created for this purpose. Fellowship, walk with God, that purpose. Now, if you're not doing that which you were created to do, your life is not right. So many people say, I'm just so confused, I'm frustrated, I just feel out of place, nothing's right in my life. Okay, well, I can tell you how to get it right. I can tell you how to get your life straight. Walk with God. Do what you were created to do. Learn to read your Bible and pray and go soul winning. Those are the three elements basically I'm talking about tonight. Fellowship with God and walking with God. So what does fellowship mean? What does it mean to fellowship? All right, that's simply enough. It is when you fellowship with somebody, you talk with them, you listen to them, you spend time with them, you hang out with them, okay? You fellowship. Sometimes you cry together, sometimes you laugh together. But you share things together, but fellowship, all right? That's what we're talking about, talking with God, listening to God, spending time with God, crying with him, laughing with him, seeing victories and seeing defeats, fellowshipping with God, okay? I want you to think about your own walk with God tonight, okay? Did you know the best thing about heaven? The best thing about heaven will be to be with God. you hear that song, it says, don't look for me on the streets of gold. Don't look for me at the gates of pearl. Don't look for me near the mansions. Look for me at Jesus' feet. Because you know what? That's going to be the place to be in heaven. That's going to be the best thing about heaven, to be in God's presence, to be there where you can see his face, that where you can put your hands on him. You can sit with him. You can get real close and look in his eyes. Can you imagine? That's going to be the best thing about heaven, the absolutely best thing. You know, we can have some of that here on earth today. We can have some of that here on earth. I've been there. I don't know about you. Some of you do know, but I have been there where I have gotten close to God, and it's just like, you know, I could stay here forever. I want nothing else but this. You know, I could do that for eternity. And when you get in God's presence, that's how it is. Well, did you know it's going to be the worst thing about hell? Not being able to be with the God that you were created to be with. The fire is bad. The remorse, the bad memories, that's bad. The memories of all the times that you could have gotten saved and didn't, that's bad. But the thing that's going to be bad about hell is knowing that you have been cast out of the presence of the God that you were created to be with forever without recourse. That will be the worst part about hell, okay? And I trust that there's no one here tonight who's not saved. But if you are, you don't want to suffer that. You don't want to find out what that's like. You need to get saved tonight. There's something about being in the presence of God that does something for me that nothing else can. Amen? I call it touching the hem of his garment. There's just a story in the Bible about the little lady, you know, with the 12 years of spending all of her money on this the physicians to try and heal her, nobody could help her, nobody could do for her what she needed done. But then she comes and she fights through the crowd and she gets close enough to Jesus to touch the hem of his garment and she's taken care of. She's healed that quick, right? And how many times have I been there? Have you been there where my life is hurting and it just seems like it's I'm dying and yet nobody can help me. But if I can get close enough to God to just seemingly touch the hem of his garment, I know when I touch the hem of his garment because all of a sudden everything's okay. All of a sudden this burden's gone. Everything's all right. I have what I needed. And if you've never done that before, you ought to try it. He says, they that seek for me with all, if you shall seek for me and shall find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. That's all you have to do to touch the hem of his garment. Search for him with all your heart. Okay? Any rate. So this is why I am still serving God after 36 years. Okay? I am what I was 36 years ago. 36 years ago, I stood in a 36. Not that I didn't stand in a pulpit and preach 36 years ago, but 36 years ago I was what I am now. I when I got saved, it only took me about 6 months to turn from a long-haired hippie. I found a picture of myself this week, a long-haired hippie, 1974. I from a long-haired hippie. And all that stuff, you know, pot smoking, beer drinking, worthless scoundrel, to turn me from that into a fundamental Baptist, a Bible toting, soul winning Baptist. Yeah, it took me about 6 months, is all it took. Talking about culture shock. Whoa. But hey, I knew I had what I wanted, but I was glomming onto it, you know. But 36 years later, I am what I was, a fundamental Bible toting Baptist, okay? Soul winning, preaching Baptist. I am what I was. I am what I was. And I believed in the dress standards I believed in then. I believe in the Bible I believed in then. Nothing's changed. Okay, but why? Why? Because of a walk with God. Because I have tried to consistently walk with God in over these 36 years. If you have an interest in still being an active servant for God 36 years from now, then you need to shore up and solidify and establish and make better your walk with God. That's what you need to do, as I have done, okay? All right, here you go. Have a time and a place and a plan for your Bible reading, your prayer time, and your soul winning. Well, that's simple and straightforward. Is it? Do you have a time and a place? Do you? I got to have those glasses on to read. But do you have a time and a place where you read your Bible every morning? I'm glad my family's here. If you went to the Mass, them says, does he practice what he preaches? They'll tell you. They know where to find me right when I get up. I don't have the same schedule every day, so I can't say at this exact hour I will be. But I guarantee you, they know when I get out of bed, the first thing I reach for is my Bible. And I go grab my glasses, and I go sit down in my chair. And they know where to find me after I get out of bed, whenever that is, because sometimes it's the afternoon. It depends. But whenever I get out of bed, they know right where to find me. I have a time. With me, it's a principle. It's when I get out of bed, I reach for my Bible. My feet hit the floor as I'm reaching for my Bible. It's a given. It's a principle. You know, that's what I do. Unless I have to use the restroom, then I go do that first. But then I reach for my Bible. Okay, but it's the first thing I do. Okay, I reach for my Bible and my glasses. I go sit in my chair. What about this? No. What about? That's what happens first thing in the morning. Okay. And then I pray, or as soon as I get done reading my Bible, I pray. It's a principle. Do you have a time and a place and a plan for your Bible reading or prayer or soul winning? Okay? What is your time? Think about it. What you say, well, I do sometimes. Well, sometimes don't get it. If you don't have a schedule, okay, a schedule, a time, a definite time. I mean, you know when it is. If I came to you right now and said, what is your time? You say, this is the time. I say, where is your place? You would say, it's right there. If you don't have that, you're not consistent in your walk with God. Okay, don't tell me you are, because I don't believe you. All right, because I know better, because I've done that. I know where that's at. All right, in case you want to be consistent, have a time, have a place, and have a plan for your Bible reading, your prayer time, and your soul winning. Okay, make it happen. Make it happen. Brother Hiles said this. He said, you will not walk with God consistently unless you do it by schedule. That's the words of the man of God. You will not walk with God consistently unless you do it by schedule. He went on to say that schedule is the key to success in the Christian life, meaning you schedule your Bible, you schedule your prayer, you schedule your soul winning, and you have your success. Because success is doing what you were created to do, right? What were you created to do? Read your Bible and pray and go soul winning. Praise God and glorify God with your life, right? That's what you were created to do. And so that's your purpose in life. And success will mean success in accomplishing that, right? Well, the key to doing that is schedule. Because you're made out of flesh like I am, and you don't always want to. You don't always feel like it. You know, sometimes I'm hungry. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes I'm just not in the mood. I want to go do something else, all right? But if it's a principle, if it's a schedule, if I've made it important, then I'm going to make it happen, okay? The key to success in the Christian life, your success at accomplishing your purpose, fellowshipping with God, is what? Living by schedule. Simple, straightforward, but do we do it, okay? We know that. Well, after a while, the Christian life is simply being reminded of the same old truths until after a while you apply them, okay? So we're reminding you of the same old truths tonight. You already knew that, but here it comes again, right? So have a place, have a time, have a plan for your Bible reading, your prayer time, your soul winning. You know, you ought to have a Bible reading plan that you use. I'll get into that here in a minute. Here's an interesting verse. You ready for this? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, I know how I used to define that, and I've asked other people how they define that, and we kind of agreed. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Means if you're not on the same page with somebody, you're really not going to be able to hang around them much. You know, you can't really walk with them if you're not really of the same opinion. You're not really agreed, right? And I found out that is so off base. That is so out in left field. You know why? Because that word agreed right there, our Hebrew scholar is not in here, is she? But that Hebrew word right there, agreed, I looked at it just by chance, is ya'ad, okay? Not that that means anything to you, but you know what it means? It means to set a time, to make an appointment. It's talking about can two walk together if they have not decided ahead of time where they're going to meet and when they're going to be there? No, and the implication is no. Can two walk together and say they've agreed? No, duh. Okay. Are you going to walk with God if you don't agree already on a place and a time to meet with him? No, you can't. Now, that just took me off guard when I saw them. Like, wow, I'd never seen that before. That's what it says. Check it out in the Hebrew. It does not talk about being of the same opinion. It is talking about an agreement to set a time to meet is what it's talking about. Anyway, can two walk together except they be agreed? No. The implication there, the inference is no, they can't, which is the truth, and it won't happen, all right? Have a time, have a place, and have a plan for your Bible reading, okay? Your prayer time, your soul winning. Make it early. Make it early. Early in the morning, early on. If you can get up early in the morning, I used to be able to get up 5 o'clock because I had a job that started at 8 o'clock, and my time to get up was 5 o'clock, and every morning at 5 o'clock, just about a minute before my alarm went off, I would get up because it was the same thing every day. My body just got used to it, right? And literally, I woke up and I listened and my alarm would go off. It's that close of a schedule. My body was scheduled like that and I would reach for my Bible, all right? But make it early, as early as you can, all right? Again, different people have different schedules, but early in the morning. And early on in the sense of early on in whatever is going on, okay? Proverbs 8:17 says, they that seek me early shall find me. I didn't read that, did I? They that seek me early shall find me. They that seek me early shall find me. It's talking about early on in whatever you're doing. You want to do something for God, seek God right in the beginning of that thing, right? Early on in that thing. Don't wait around until halfway through, right? Okay, if you're going to do something for God, seek him early. Don't wait around. Okay, if you want God to be part of your day, don't wait till halfway through the day to seek him. Okay, seek him early on. All right, whatever early is for you. If you sleep all day and get up at night, okay, if that's your schedule, you seek him early in whatever you're doing, early on in your day. All right, so have a time and a place and a plan for your Bible reading and prayer. If I could get you to do two things, we could go home, all right? And the first one would be to live by schedule. Live by schedule. To have a schedule where you knew when and where you were going to walk with God. So have a time and a place and a plan. Next is this. Start slow or start again slow. If you're a young Christian and you haven't had a walk with God to this point, you don't have a history of reading your Bible and praying and walking with God and spending time with God. If you haven't had a history of that, start slow. I'm excited. I want it all. You know, I think of different new families that we've gotten into church recently, and I think, you know what, they're all excited, and they say, well, I don't want it all. Well, okay. We don't want any shooting stars, and you don't want to be a shooting star because shooting stars tend to burn out right away, you know. You ever heard that thing of burnout in a Christian life? You know what burnout is? It's when there's nothing left to burn. You think about that. It's they don't have a relationship with God, and they take off a mighty shooting star for God, but they don't have any foundation, don't have any relationship with God, and they just and they're done. You've seen that. We saw that at Bible college. This one fellow, man, he was a shooting star. He was crazy. The guy was a preaching like a house of fire. He would bloody himself every time he preached. that's how he was. He would be bloody by the time he was done preaching. He was. Lasted, I think, about 2 years. And well, he was a shooting star. Okay, and today I don't know if you could get the guy to go to church with you. You know, he was. Excited, and that's great, but he was a shooting star. He did not have a foundation. He did not have the walk with God that would allow him to keep burning brightly, okay? So start slow or start again slow, depending on where you're at, right? If you've tried and taken off and got excited and it was too much and you couldn't keep it consistent, start again slow. 1 Peter 2:2 says this. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, right? We know that verse. We know. Let me see here. Where am I at? Okay. We know that we're familiar with that verse. Isaiah 28, and Let me read you one in Isaiah 28, now 9 and 10. Isaiah 28, 9 and 10. That's Proverbs, Rich. That's not Isaiah. What am I doing in Proverbs when I'm supposed to be in Isaiah? Okay, let me get this for you. When we're brand new in the Christian life, we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word, and we're to take off after that. And then as you grow, this is the way it's supposed to be. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. That's his. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. There's a time when we need to go on from the simple, basic, foundational doctrine and truths in Bible. We need to get weaned, okay? What is that talking about? It's talking about someone getting their own relationship with God. Okay, it's talking about someone finding God for themselves. It's talking about someone who used to have to get to the preacher, used to have to get to so-and-so or that person. I depend on this relationship. It's how I keep going. No, you have to get to God is what you have to do. You have to get alone with God and touch the hem of his garment. That's what you have to do. Okay, that's when a person is weaned, they're weaned off of the milk. Okay, the young Christian, that's fine. You need a relationship with so-and-so, this person, that person, in order to keep going for God. Then you hang on to that relationship and you do it. But someday you need to get weaned. Someday you need to find God for yourself. Okay, someday you need to quit going to the physicians and turn to God. Okay, someday you need to turn away from depending on man and turn to God. What does the verse say? Hope thou in God, for vain is the help of man. All right. After a while, that's how it is. Okay. Anyway, you need your own walk with God. You need your own relationship with God. You need to find God for yourself. You need to be weaned off of the milk. Okay. So we said have a time and place. We said start slow or start again slow. Okay. It should be built. Your walk with God should be built line upon line, precept upon precept, brick upon brick. You don't start out shooting star style. You start out maybe, 10 minutes a day in the Bible and 10 minutes a day in prayer. Okay? You got to start somewhere. You got to start crawling before you can learn to walk. Okay? But you know what is so incredibly important that we don't catch is the consistency that we need to have in our walk with God. The same day in and day out, the character, the discipline, the principle of walking with God. Start slowly so that you can maintain it, so that you can build on that. You know, after a while, you're doing 10 minutes in Bible and 10 minutes in prayer in a day. You know what? You can turn to 20 minutes in the Bible and 20 minutes in prayer. And after a while, you can get to where you're doing a half hour in the Bible and a half hour in prayer, okay? And, you know, if you're spending an hour with God every single day, don't raise your hand and don't look at me funny, but I wonder if that would be an improvement on your relationship, okay? I wonder if that would be an upgrade on your relationship to spend a half hour in prayer and a half hour in Bible every day. Every day, day in, day out, 7 days a week. Would that be an improvement? Well, if it would be, you can build towards that and head towards that. And you can get there if you will build it line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. You can get there, okay? Don't try and jump over the steps. You need to take step by step, but build your relationship with God. Your walk with God, build it a little at a time. Okay, consistency is most important. You ever build a campfire before? Yeah, you know how that goes. You don't start off with the log, do you? That don't work. You build a campfire, you start off with the straw and the leaves and the twigs and the paper, and you get that going, and then you throw bigger twigs on there. Okay, and then you get that going. Maybe some small branches and. And after that, bigger branches, and after that, bigger branches, and after that, you got, you know, small logs and so on, right? You don't just dump all at once onto building a fire. It's how you build your walk with God. It's how you build your Christian life. You start out slow. You get a little here, a little there, a little, and you build it slowly. You don't try and take on the whole truck all at once, okay? Because Just like those coals are a foundation to that fire, your character and your discipline of being consistent, not missing a day, not missing a day for any reason, not missing your time with God because something else came up. Oh, I will do it later. Bad idea. Bad idea. I promise I'll do it later. Yeah. Okay, so you've just set God aside for something more important. You understand that, right? I mean, that was not the best idea you ever had. And you have established, what is worse, is you have established that precedence in your walk with God of setting God aside. And so the next time something else comes up that's, well, this is important, like as though God weren't, if this is important, I got to take care of this, well, then you're going to set God aside again. You see, that's called choosing second best. You know, you choose second best, and then you choose second best, and then you choose second best, and that's how that works. You start slow and you be consistent, because your consistency day after day after day after day after day is what's going to build your walk with God. Because you never be able to add to it if you don't have that foundation of consistency, principle, discipline, however you want to call it. Okay? All right. At any rate, so, you know, you might do 1 to 3 chapters a day. You might read straight through the Bible, or you might do a chapter in Acts, you know, one chapter according to the day of the month. Say Acts chapter 1 on you know, the first of the month, and the second day of the month, Acts chapter 2, and so on and so forth, right? You might do it like that. There's different ways, different plans of Bible reading. If you have any question about a Bible reading plan, you can talk to me. I'd be happy to show you. There's the preacher would, any Sunday school teacher in here could show you about Bible reading plans. To talk to someone if you don't have a Bible reading plan. There are plenty of options available. You got to just find what works for you. The point is, you know, doing it every day, whatever works for you, okay? My Bible reading plan, believe it or not, is really convoluted. I don't read the whole Bible reading plan in one day, because I've not got there yet, but I read half of it in one day. And this is it, 3 chapters in Genesis through Deuteronomy, 1 chapter in Joshua through Ruth, 3 chapters in 1 Samuel through 2 Chronicles, 1 chapter in Ezra through Job, 3 chapters in Psalms, 1 chapter in Proverbs through Song of Solomon, 3 chapters in Isaiah through Lamentations, 3 chapters in Ezekiel through Malachi, 3 chapters in Matthew through John, 1 chapter in Acts, 3 chapters in Romans through Philemon, and 2 chapters in Hebrews through Revelations. Well, that's a lot of chapters, right? But I don't do all that in one day. I have gotten up to where I do half of that in a day, okay? That's my Bible reading plan. I got that out of Jim Vineyard's book on the bus ministry from back in 1980. I've had that same Bible reading plan for 36 years, okay? Back then, believe it or not, when I first started out, I was the shooting star. I was doing all of it. I was reading. I read all that Bible every day. It took me through, literally, it took me through the New Testament every month, and the Old Testament every 2 months. So every 2 months, I went through the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice. Yeah, well, at least the first time I did. Then the second time, it got messed up. And then I just wasn't able to keep it up, okay? I was all gung-ho, and I wasn't able to maintain. So now I'm building it back up. And my next step in my Bible reading would be to do all of that in a day, but I'm not there yet, okay? I don't know when that's coming, but that's where I'm headed. At any rate, so you can't start out like the shooting star. You have to start out slow, okay? There's such thing as traditions, okay, that will lead you to walk with God. It helps you in your daily walk with God if you have traditions. As for instance, yielding, Brother House had this tradition where he would yield to the Holy Spirit 7 times a day on schedule at 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock and 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock and whatever. He had it on schedule. He set his watch and it would beep every, whatever it was, 3 hours, and he would yield to the Holy Spirit. He would stop where he was ever was at and bow his head and say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you, and I pray that you'd help me to cross the paths of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes today. That was his prayer 7 times a day, right? And I heard somebody preach one time, if you want to be like a great man, then do like a great man does. But I couldn't keep that schedule. And I had gotten, by that time I had realized that I couldn't be the shooting star yet. So I, I said, but I can do, I have this other thing that I do several times in a day, every day without fail, and I have to. So I'm going to take that opportunity to yield to the Holy Spirit. Every time I do that thing, whatever it is, you know, get in my car or pick up the phone or whatever it is, I, you know, for me, it was this one certain thing. And I knew that I would do that several times in a day. And I took that opportunity to stop and yield myself to the Holy Spirit. And I have done that for these years. That would, you know, when I was in college. So it's been like 30 years. But it has kept me. It has kept me. A simple tradition like that. Fasting will keep you if you have a tradition of fasting. Fasting, I fast one day a week, have for over 30 years. It's a tradition, a habit, a principle. And it has kept me through these years. And I want to 30 years from now still be serving God. I want to 30 years from now still be a fundamental Baptist, right? And so I do these things to keep me straight, okay? And traditions like that, if you would just, that's a simple thing. You say, well, I don't know a lot of Bible. Well, you can fast. Well, I'm not real powerful in prayer. Well, you can fast, you know? I'm not just the best soul winner in the world, but you can fast, you know? You don't have to be anything special to fast. And fasting, honestly, what it does for you, it's not to impress God. It's to help you focus yourself for your walk with God. What fasting will do for you, the Bible says it loosens the bands of wickedness. If you have a habit or something that's tearing you down, and you learn to fast, it loosens the bands. And literally, that is the only way I've ever found to get right with God. When I've gotten away from God and gotten backslidden and, you know, and gotten into stuff that I just can't seem to get out of, when I'll fast, I can get straight. At any rate, so that's a tradition that I have. Okay, so we said to have a time and a place. We said to start slow. Number three, make it important. Now I understand why the preacher always says I gotta hurry. So, at any rate, make it important. Make it important. Your time with God. Make it important. And you know, important things, and people do not clamor for your time. Brother Hiles, whenever Brother Hiles was around, he would never go to people and try and get their attention. You had to go to Brother Hiles and ask him something and talk to him. He wouldn't go after you. He would go off in the corner. He wouldn't come after you. Why? Because he was a meek and humble he was a meek and humble man of God, and he did not shove himself on people. Well, important people, important things do not clamor for your time. You know, your Bible doesn't, you know. It's not like, you know, food. Food clamors for your attention, right? Sleep clamors for your attention, all right? Well, no. God, walking with God, the Bible, reading, prayer, it does not clamor for your time. You have to make it important. You know, like Job, book of Job 23:12, he says this. He says, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Job's Bible reading time was more important to him than eating, and not just eating, but his necessary food. We're not talking about his excess food. We're talking about his necessary food. Before he ate breakfast in the morning, irregardless, he read his Bible, okay? He said, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Make it important to you, okay? Isaiah 66:2, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and that trembleth at my words. Is your time with God so important to you that you would tremble if you did not get to spend time in the Bible? I know in this verse it talks about trembling what God had said, but Isaiah had made this made the word of God so important to him that it caused him to tremble. Okay, make your time with God more important than other things in your life, because it is. Okay, you know, your success in the Christian life depends on it. Your joy as a Christian depends on your walk with God. Your longevity in serving God, your active service, depends on it. Your influence on other people depends on your walk with God, okay? It is important. It's more important than the other things in your life, and you should make it so, okay? Everything and anything will get in the way if you let it. Everything and anything is going to usurp your time with God if you allow it. You have to take a stand. You have to say, no, I have scheduled this. And I will turn my phone off. I will go off by myself, whatever it takes. I will find a place where nobody can find me if I have to. But I will spend my time with God, and because that's the most important thing going on in my life. You have to make it important, okay? So have a set time, a set place, and a plan for Bible reading, prayer, and soul winning. Start slow. Don't be the shooting star, okay, and grow. But make it important. Make it more important than the other things in your life, okay? Make it the most important thing. The biggest thing going on is my walk with God. If I can take care of that, if I meet God in the morning, I can have him all the day. If I meet God in the morning, I can find him. I can be successful in my purpose in life. Amen? All right. Last one, number four, don't get proud, okay? Jeremiah 2:13, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, which can hold no water. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, which can hold no water. You know what pride is? Pride is independence from God. In its simplest form, in its simplest description, mark it down. When you're getting proud, you're getting independent from God. You don't need God for something or for any reason, okay? In particular, whatever area it is that you don't need God, in that area, you are proud, okay? If you go to drive your car and you're going to go to wherever you're going to work. I go to work every day. I don't need God to help me with that. Whoa, doesn't sound good when you put it that way. But that's the truth. Do you pray before you drive? Do you pray before you go to work? You don't need God at your job, you know? Do you pray? If you don't pray, you don't need God. Do you get up in the morning and make it important and have a Bible reading plan place in a place and a time and a plan? If you don't have that, then you need to humble yourself and realize you need God. Don't get proud. Don't get proud. You know, Jeshurun, the Bible, in the Bible, Jeshurun is another word for Israel. Jeshurun, I don't know how you want to say it, but it's another word for Israel. And the Bible says here, it says, but Jeshurun waxed fat. Jeshurun got fat. Israel, they got fat. They got lazy. He said, he waxed fat and kicked. Thou art grown fat. Thou art covered with thickness. Thou art covered with fatness. Thou art grown thick, however you want to say it. He said, then he forsook the Lord his God. Then he forsook God, his Savior, and the God who created him. He forsook him. Why? Because he got proud. Okay? The nation of Israel got proud and they left God. They forsook God. They didn't need God anymore. So if we're going to have a walk with God, we cannot get proud because it will go by the wayside. Okay? In whatever area you don't need God, in that area you're proud. The scriptural truth about us is we're dust, we're vanity, we're sinful, we're weak, we're foolish, we're carnal. But fact is we need God. Dr. Evans, he said this, humility is the ability to have a right estimate of yourself in light of the scriptures. Humility is the ability to have a right estimate of yourself in light of the scriptures, okay? You know the truth about yourself. You're not confused about who you are and what you are. That's humility, all right? Sunday school teachers, did you know you're not what your students need? Did you know that if all your students get on Sunday is your intellect and your personality and your charisma, your whatever you are, if that's all they get on Sunday, they didn't get much, all right? What they need is your God. And the best that you can do for them is to bring him whom they need to your Sunday school class in the morning. Bring your time with God. You spent that time. You've studied. You've prayed. You've spent time with God, and you're anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit. You bring God to your students. They get what they need because you're not what they need. You're not what they need. I've prayed this, and maybe you have too. God, make me to be what they need me to be. Well, I will never be what they need me to be. I'm sorry. I am not what they need. I am not. My God is. And so I need to bring him. I need to bring him. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. You mark it down. The best you can be is altogether vanity. Three guards against getting proud. Ready? Gratitude. Gratitude is one guardian against pride. Are you thankful for what God does in your life, for your salvation, for your Bible, for your preacher, for your church, for your family, for your job? Gratitude. being thankful. One preacher put it this way: gratitude is the fast track to humility. Okay, you want to humble yourself, you just start thinking about what you're thankful for and praising God for different things. It'll help you to humble yourself. Gratitude. Preaching will help to keep you humble. If you will listen to preaching, I'll leave out of here tonight. I'll go drive a truck for a few hours, and I have hundreds of sermons by Brother Hiles on my little iPod Nano, and I will listen to preaching. Preaching will keep you humble, okay? Don't just listen to preaching at church. You should be listening to preaching at home, okay? Your preacher listens to two or three sermons a day, okay? I'll tell you one reason why our preacher is as humble as he is. He listens to preaching every day. Two or three sermons, I promise you. You ask him, he does. Okay? Fasting will humble you. If you will learn to fast, often in the Bible you see where people humble themselves by fasting. That's how they did it. And fasting will humble you if you will learn to do it. Okay? So, have a time, a place, and a plan. Start out slow. Make it important. Don't get proud. Did you know criticism is a red flag of pride? Are you critical of anybody? I'm not. Think about it. If you were critical, if you said, well, yeah, well, this person I am. Well, if you're critical of someone else, criticism is a red flag of pride. Why would I say that? Proverbs 13:10. And this is important because if you're getting proud, you're getting away from God. We're talking about walking with God. And if you're getting proud, you're not going to walk with God, okay? You're not going to need him. Criticism is a red flag of pride. See, you're the last person to know if you're proud. You go and get proud. You don't know it. You don't realize it. You have to look for indicators. It's like the car. You got the little red idiot light on the car. Why? Because you can't see what's going on in the motor. But the idiot light's there. Oh, duh. There must be a problem, right? Well, here's an idiot light, a red flag. It says, there's a problem, sir, if you're critical of somebody else. Why? Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. Only. Underscore only. In other words, no other way does it come. Only by pride cometh contention. What is that word contention? Contention, strife, debate, criticism. If you're critical of somebody else, you need to back off and say, there's a light flashing right there. There's a red flag. I need to humble myself because we have no right to criticize other people. Okay? I don't have a trouble with being critical of people because I know what a dirt ball I am, okay? If you take a look at your own life and you realize what a sinner you are and how a dirt ball you really are too, you won't have that problem of criticizing somebody else. You'll just be glad you're not burning in hell where you deserve to be, okay? Criticism is that red flag. Anytime you get critical of somebody else, back up and say, oh, whoa, you know what? I must be getting proud because only by pride cometh contention. All right. So, what is your time? What is your place? What is your plan to walk with God? What is your time? Do you have a time? Tomorrow morning, do you have a time where you're going to get up and read the Bible? If not, you're cheating yourself. You know, you're cheating God. You need to wake up and realize how much you need that walk with God. If you're ever going to have a successful Christian life, you have to walk with God. Okay? Because that's why God made you. That is why your life is discombobulated, out of sorts, not right, okay? Get it right, get your walk with God right, your life will come into focus, all right? It's that simple. It's not a good sermon, but it's a great truth. It's a great truth. Walk with God. Brother Hiles said it, the one thing that I can do, the best thing I can do for my life, walk with God. Yeah. And then spend the rest of your life adding to that, brick upon brick, line upon line, here a little and there a little, and just making it closer and closer, bigger and bigger. Amen? Isaiah 54 and verse 2, it says this. I don't want to turn to it, I don't guess. I'll try and find it. Isaiah 54 verse 2 says this. It says, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. It's talking about getting a bigger tent. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. What's it talking about? Growing your relationship with God. In that, if Isaiah 54, 2, if you look it up, it's talking about doing more for God, being more for God. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Growing your tent, getting a bigger tent, getting a bigger walk with God, getting a better walk with God. Lengthen your cords. It gets bigger. Strengthen your stakes. Drive it down deeper and harder and faster and stronger into the Word of God and more into prayer and more into a walk with God. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. So just wanted to share that with you tonight. That's what God laid on my heart tonight. Walk with God. Walk with God. Walk with God. And then walk with God. You want a good answer for your life, your life's problems? Walk with God. That's it. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be with you, to walk with you, to love you, to serve you. Father, you're so good. You're so good to us. You're so great a God, Lord. When that driver the other day said, "Oh, I can't believe, you know, I ran Wiley Watson's route this week," and the people on that route saying, "Well, I'm glad it's not Wiley this week because he doesn't do anything but talk about God." And I'm like, Father, I just wanted to say, Lord, help us. Of course we want to talk about God, him who is the creator of the ends of the earth, him who is the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God of gods and King of kings and Lord of lords. Why wouldn't we want to talk about God, our Savior, and the one who has our eternity in his hand? Lord, I thank and praise you, Lord, for what you do for us. I pray that you would bless in this invitation. Holy Spirit, help us to make a commitment in our own hearts and lives to lengthen our cords, strengthen our stakes, grow our walk with God tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's